news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Republican Party dominates the headlines today, and not in a good way. First, there's the feud in the House, where Speaker-in-Waiting Kevin McCarthy and his top sidekick, Steve Scalise, are working behind the scenes to oust Liz Cheney from her leadership role as conference chair and replace her with Trump loyalist Elise Stefanik. They could schedule a vote as soon as next week. The reason for the unprecedented action? Cheney had the nerve to tell the truth about Donald Trump and call out his big lie, claiming that the November election was stolen and that he fomented the insurrection on January 6th. In a scathing editorial Wednesday morning, The Wall Street Journal excoriated the party for ousting Cheney from leadership because she's daring to tell the truth. Quote, Republicans should find a way to speak this truth to voters in 2022 and quickly turn to running on an agenda for the future that will check Mr. Biden and his cradle-to-grave entitlement state. Purging Liz Cheney for honesty would diminish the party. The newspaper also called out McCarthy for coordinating her takedown when he, quote, knows Ms. Cheney is right. The election wasn't stolen. Then there's the investigation into Rudy Giuliani. On Tuesday, federal prosecutors asked the judge to appoint a special master to examine all the evidence taken from his home and office last month. And yet another shoe dropped on Tuesday as U.S. District Court Judge Amy Berman Jackson rejected the Justice Department's attempts to withhold the release of a secret memo. The memo was written for former Attorney General William Barr regarding the department's opinion not to charge Donald Trump with obstruction at the end of the Mueller investigation. The judge dismissed the DOJ's reasoning that the largely redacted memo from March of 2019 was legal reasoning to help Barr make a decision about Trump. She said she believed Barr and his advisors had already decided they would not charge the president with a crime, and the memo was partly strategic planning and therefore could be made public. The decision adds to the criticism federal judges and others have had about Barr and his handling or mishandling of the Mueller probe, and his desire to keep documents related to the investigation under wraps. The DOJ has until May 17th to decide if it will appeal her ruling or release the memo. Well, President Biden has a new COVID-19 goal. That is to have at least one vaccine dose in the arms of 70% of U.S. adults and 160 million fully vaccinated by July 4th. That would mark a sharp slowdown in the vaccination pace, but that's been happening across the country already. So far, about 145 million people, that's about 56% of all adults in the U.S., have gotten at least one dose, and states are gearing up to vaccinate 12 to 15-year-olds once the FDA approves the Pfizer vaccine for that group. And not only that, Pfizer said it expects to apply for emergency use authorization for its vaccine for children ages 2 to 11 in September. It also plans to file for full approval from the FDA for use in 16 to 85-year-olds, which could help alleviate some Americans' vaccine hesitancy. This just in, the much-anticipated decision on Donald Trump's future on Facebook was released Wednesday morning by Facebook's Oversight Board. On CNN, Brian Stelter announced the decision.
The board has upheld Facebook's decision to restrict then President Donald Trump's access to posting content. So in other words, Trump remains banned from Facebook. He will not be allowed back on the site. This is a remarkable example of a private platform run by Mark Zuckerberg making a choice about a world leader, now a former world leader, and this is going to have ramifications for other world leaders and for other cases in the future.
Facebook was the first major social media platform to suspend Trump indefinitely in the wake of the January 6th attack on the Capitol, and its decision was met with praise by some and decried as censorship by others. Just so you know, the Facebook Oversight Board is a group created by Facebook to which users can appeal important company decisions. It's funded by a $130 million trust created by Facebook, and the board said it is an independent and neutral third party whose goal is to review moderation decisions made by the company and decide whether they were made in accordance with its stated values. So far, the board has ruled on Facebook moderation decisions around blackface, threats of violence, and COVID-19 misinformation. It has overturned Facebook's decisions six times, upheld them twice, and was unable to complete a ruling once. And I guess now we can say it upheld them three times. Well, we knew he'd appeal. And here it comes. Derek Chauvin's lawyer on Tuesday filed for a new trial for the former Minneapolis police officer who was convicted of second and third degree murder and second degree manslaughter for the killing of George Floyd last May. The lawyer, Eric Nelson, argued that several factors prevented a fair trial, including prosecutorial misconduct and the judge's decisions against moving the trial and sequestering the jury, or granting a new trial due to publicity that intimidated defense expert witnesses. Nelson also alleged jury misconduct. As I said, the motion was widely expected, but appellate courts generally set a high standard for granting new trials. From the Groundhog Day files, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has again missed a deadline to form a new government, extending the country's long political deadlock. The mandate to form a new government goes back to President Reuven Rivlin, who now must decide which of Israel's other political leaders he might entrust with trying to form a governing coalition. Israel has gone through four elections in the past 2 years, and not one of them has resulted in a definite governing structure in the Knesset, Israel's parliament. One name to look out for is Naftali Bennett. He's a former defense minister and right-wing party leader. Both Netanyahu and another major party leader have offered Bennett the prime ministership in a sort of rotation deal. Bennett says he's not opposed to forming a unity government made up of a wide selection of parties. Well, the race is on in Florida. Charlie Crist on Tuesday announced his bid for governor, a position he once held as a Republican. He's now in his third term as a Democrat and congressman. After Crist announced, Florida Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried stopped just shy of officially declaring her candidacy, too. By the way, after the death of Congressman Alcee Hastings, we're waiting for the governor to schedule a special election to fill his seat. For reference, after the last Florida congressman's death in 2013, a special election to fill the vacancy was held less than 5 months later. This time, after the death of Congressman Hastings, Ron DeSantis is keeping the seat open for more than 9 months. On Tuesday, DeSantis announced the primary will be set for November 2nd and the general election will be January 11th. Supervisor of Elections for Broward and Palm Beach counties had proposed August 31st as a special primary date and November 2nd for the general election, which would have meant replacing Hastings 11 weeks earlier than DeSantis is doing it. Of course he did. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.